Hey friends, welcome back to another solo with some special guests episode of the Words of the Wise podcast. I'm your host, Lexi Maynard, and today I'm going to be talking about childlike faith. If you are familiar with the Bible or the Christian faith at all, you likely have heard one of the verses regarding childlike faith. In all of the Gospels, we find the verse somewhere. Up until about a month ago, I think I missed the point of what Jesus was trying to tell us with this verse. It wasn't until a recent Bible study that I felt like the veil had been lifted and I actually understood what I think Jesus was trying to tell us with this comparison. My initial and only thought, at first, was that Jesus was calling us to believe in his awe and wonder, like that of a kid with a vivid imagination. Being a kid who loved to play and use her imagination myself, this thought when dissecting Jesus' words came natural for me. While this is definitely part of what Jesus wanted to click in our brains, I think the message goes much deeper than that. I'll dive deeper into the revelations I've had later in the episode, but I thought it'd be good to first get you listeners into the headspace of a child. I mean, if God calls us to be like children, I thought I'd better get their perspective of Jesus and the faith before I try to add in my own thoughts. After all, as 1 Timothy 4:12 states, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." I know what you loyal listeners must be thinking. I thought this was a podcast where you interviewed people 60 and older. You're right, I do. And that's the ultimate mission and target audience of Words of the Wise. And we'll get to that component later. But if God's word is true, which I wholeheartedly believe and know it is, let us learn from some children in this episode first. First up in my child experts lineup, my cousin, Bo Lynch. Bo is 5 and just started kindergarten. My Aunt Caitlin interviewed him before bed. Here is Bo and his thoughts.
Who is Jesus?
He's a person that created everything.
Where is Jesus?
In heaven. He does that.
What do you think Jesus does? What does he like to do?
Watch us.
Why do you think Jesus is special?
Because he helps all of us.
What would you like to say to Jesus right now?
Thank him for everything he's giving me.
What are you thankful for?
What am I?
What are you thankful for?
Food.
Okay.
And roots. And when I'm dead, I am and my family.
Next up, we have 4-year-old Harper Griffiths. Here she is. What's your name?
Harper.
What's your full name?
I don't know. Harper Rose Griffiths.
All right, Harper, who is Jesus?
An apparition. up in the sky.
In heaven?
Mm-hmm. Harper, what do you want to say to Jesus right now?
I say I love you, Jesus. And I hope you protect us, see Jesus.
Do you think Jesus is special?
I should protect the kitty cat Elsie.
He looks after our kitty cat Elsie who's in heaven.
He looks after your kitty cat Elsie? Mm-hmm. And yeah, what does Jesus make?
The rainbow and the sunsets.
So what else does he make?
Me.
And what else?
Mom. And your babies. Mm-hmm. And daddy. Yeah. And my toys and my butt. And my dresses and those over there and my doll.
Uh-huh.
And my cups and my buttons and my cactus that rides up.
Harper, what do you have tomorrow?
School? Yep.
Yeah. Harper, what are you thankful for?
Mommy's babies.
Anything else you want to say about Jesus?
You want to say a prayer?
Dear God, I hope we find my dragon and my Satan and my wizard and all the people in the world. Amen.
Finally, I turn to my godson and cousin, Roland Lynch. Roland is 6 and lives in Texas. His mom, my Aunt Danielle, served as his interviewer. Here's what he had to say.
Who is Jesus?
He died on the cross for us. And he made the world, and He helps us with all things. And
where is Jesus now?
He's in the sky and in heaven.
What do you think Jesus likes to do?
This is hard. Sit up in the sky and see what we're doing.
Why do you think that Jesus is special?
Because he has powers and he can just bring us up to heaven. And he helps us.
What would you like to say to Jesus right now?
Thank you for helping us and dying on the cross for us to take away our sins.
What are you thankful for?
For him making me brothers and sisters. And he made me a mom and a dad. Thank you for making me and the world for us. Thank you for making days. And yeah.
Jesus Loves the Little Children is a song that most nursery schools sing. And let's be honest, how could Jesus not? The innocence, the purity, the authenticity of those answers just makes you appreciate children and the things they joyfully don't know. The things they believe to be true, even if they haven't seen the things they speak of. Childlike faith at its finest. Now that we've covered the definition of what it means to have a childlike faith, I want you all to think about the relationship between a parent and their child from about ages 0 to 6. It's in this stage of parenting when kids rely and depend on their parents for everything. Meals, getting dressed, diaper changes that turn into potty training filled with reminders to go to the bathroom, when to go to bed, don't play in the street, when it's time for a bath or to brush their teeth. Kids need parents for it all. It's during these years where discipline is crucial, or so I've been told from my own parents. I'm clearly not a parent at this stage, but kids don't know what to do and what not to do when they're that young. It's the parents' job to teach them everything. They must teach them how to be good, and oftentimes those lessons are not learned unless they get in trouble for doing something wrong. Here's my episode 7 subject, Mr. Jackson, sharing about his greatest piece of parenting advice, and spoiler, it's discipline.
What parenting advice would you give to parents now?
Well, I'm going to say this. It may not be popular because the younger generation today feel that we kind of old fogies and out of style. But kids today, everything is provided for them in a lot of ways. The only thing that's absent to a large degree is some discipline in certain areas. So if you start early, whatever that form of discipline is, you can stay late. That's the old saying, if you start early. Mm-hmm. So I would tell any parent with kids, but discipline is always in order. So we grew up with discipline. Mm-hmm. Even now with our grandkids, sometimes we see things, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it's a different age, a different time.
Uh-huh.
But I would strongly recommend
whatever
technique you use.
Really?
Because once they get it and understand what's required,
mm-hmm.
well then they'll grow
makes
up.
Your job easier.
Parenting and disciplining is clearly hard. Who wants to yell or see their child upset? It takes a huge amount of love to care so much about how your kid is being brought up that you do make them upset sometimes by disciplining them. Actually, I've heard it's easier not to discipline in the beginning, but as Mr. Jackson explained, it makes your life harder in the end. So, might as well discipline early, am I right? But still, I can't imagine how hard that must be. I mean, even as a babysitter, it's hard to have to tell a parent that their child did something wrong, but then for you to be in charge of their upbringing, anyway, crazy. This topic of discipline makes me think about a section of the prayer my mom has hanging in her half bathroom at home. She received it from none other than my great grandpa Lux. The section I am referring to reads, "Give us the courage to be disliked by our children when we must do necessary things which are displeasing in their eyes." When I was younger and would get in trouble, being the people-pleasing kid I would feel terrible, like the biggest failure. Classic first child. I remember my dad coming into my room after letting me sit and think for a while. He would always ask why I thought I was in trouble. Most times I would know why. Other times I wouldn't have a clue. Sometimes he would have an explanation why I shouldn't do what I did. But other times he would simply say, that was something you shouldn't do. However, he always, without fail, would say at the end of our talk, "You got in trouble because I love you. I only do this because I love you." At the time, I didn't understand what that meant. How could someone who loves me yell at me and discipline me? Now, as an adult, having understood why I would get in trouble back then, I immediately think about the verse John 13:7, where Jesus says, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." I also think of Proverbs 13:24, which is a Bible verse that states, "He who spares his rod hates his son." Hates, wow. "But he who loves him disciplines him promptly." When I think back on those moments of discipline from my dad and my mom, what once felt like punishment now reminds me of God's heart towards us. A very wise guy by the name of Reese Mann was featured on my podcast back in 2021. Unfortunately, he has since passed away. But I love these words he shared regarding his top advice for parenting.
And do you have any parenting advice that you would give to parents trying to raise their kids right now?
Oh man, that's a scary thing. That first child, it feels like you're like over-parenting sometimes, but sometimes just relax and let them fail. That's a hard thing to do. But through failure, you still learn. So yeah, I just not being their best friends until later in life, and parenting isn't easy because it's not easy watching your kid fail and you want to step in. But sometimes the best thing you can do is just step back and let them learn from that situation.
Now, when thinking about God's correction, it isn't meant to crush us, but to shape us, to remind us that we are his children, and that he loves us enough to guide us back on track. And that's the beautiful part of childlike faith. It doesn't stop at obedience. It grows into trust. Just like a child trusts their parents know, even when they don't fully understand, we're invited to trust God's ways, even when they don't make sense in the moment. That's why when I listen to something as joyful as Forrest Frank's Child of God album, I'm reminded that faith isn't only about discipline. It's also about delight. His album has been on repeat to me since it came out. The joy and life of each song reflects the nature of a child who is full of wonder and awe. This is the kind of faith God calls us to have. One without worry and without fear, because God is in control. He will provide. He will sustain. He is all we need to get by. In the end, his way is better. That song is my godson Roland's favorite on the entire album, and here he is singing it.
I saw a circle to my head just to find that you're always there. Uh-oh, you're always better. Uh-oh, you're always better. Uh-oh, you're always better. Jesus, you're always better.
That might be my favorite clip ever now. But anyways, back to Forrest Frank. On the album cover of the first version of that album, he now has two, there is an image of his child in front of the fridge, as if he is trying to open it. The image is very relatable. How many of you remember being a kid and wanting to grab a snack from the pantry or fridge without permission? You were hungry, or let's be honest, probably bored, and so you went searching for a quick snack on your own. I don't know about y'all, but for me, this often led to my mom redirecting me from the fruit snacks and saying something along the lines of, "If you're that hungry, you can have a banana or string cheese. You don't need the junk because we're about to have dinner." As a kid, this was frustrating and not what I wanted. But my mom knew that that was what I needed and would ultimately be better for me than the plan I had. The junk would spoil the meal she had prepared for later, the one that would be savored and enjoyed together at the dinner table as a family, which in the grand scheme led to being more thankful for the meal because I had waited to satisfy my hunger. The dinner table always led to great family talks and laughs, and overall the experience was always better when I just waited for dinner like my mom had planned, rather than sneaking, I don't know, a cookie or chips. I promise you I wasn't that chunky of a kid. I don't know, girl likes to eat. Anyways, mom always knew best, and although I would get frustrated in my waiting sometimes, I still always knew that the meal was coming, that my mom had the ingredients in the fridge. She had the recipe. She would prepare it. Once she started cooking it, we could smell the aroma that came from the kitchen as it floated into the playroom. We never doubted that my mom would provide the meal. And when the time was right, we would sit as a family and eat. Real quick, I do want to pause here and recognize that for some, childhood didn't look like this picture of love and care. But the beauty of the gospel is that God's love is even greater than what earthly parents could provide. And I'll touch on that more later. But anyways, when we're kids, long story short, we're dependent on our parents for every meal and everything. The older we get, the less we rely on them. And really, the more many of us think we don't need to rely on God. However, he sits and he waits for us to come to him. Just like parents who are empty nesters wait for the kids to call or say they're coming to visit, the Lord is not pushy. He sits and waits patiently, offering his love daily, but not forcing us to come, but being there as a constant that we can always depend on. No matter our age, we are all God's children. And like children must rely on their parents, we are called to rely on God the Father. On February 2nd, Pastor Ryan Bramlett of Traders Point, which is where I go to church, preached a message about wisdom. In looking back at my sermon notes, he talked about the importance of dying to our pride. He then went on to talk about the very first sin. Adam and Eve believed they should know and be able to decide what was good for them. Look where that left them, or really where that left us. We now live in a broken world, filled with many trials because of that one fall. It was pride that led to the fall, and it is pride which causes us to fall daily, causes me to fall all the time, trust me. By trying to do everything on our own and think that our way is better, we lose sight of the one thing that will save us, God the Father, the unchanging, never-ending, all-encompassing Father who formed us in our mother's wombs, knows every hair on our head, has known the story of our life from the beginning, and yet we still think we know better. Why? Going back to the sermon notes, I also loved this line from Pastor Ryan. God will provide everything we need, but we need to let go of our need to know what is best for us. Wow. A few months ago, I came across a reel, or TikTok maybe, I kind of forget, which stated, we don't always get what we prayed for. We get what we would have prayed for had we known everything. How convicting is that? That really struck a chord with me. I'm never going to forget that. But going back to kids. Kids don't know what's best for them. They think discipline is stupid and harsh, when really, it's the very thing that shapes them into the people they were meant to be. They want junk food and to go without sleep and to not do their homework and to run into the street. I genuinely did not mean for that to rhyme. I don't know how that ended up working out, but kind of a bar. I don't know. People who know me well know that that's not uncommon for me to just say that. Anyways, but I'm going to repeat it again. They want junk food and to go without sleep and to not do their homework and to run into the street. But their parents guide them and lead them towards the path that is better. Then we fast forward to adulthood. Our Father in heaven uses similar trials to refine us and shape us into his likeness. The promotion you didn't get, the relationship that didn't work out, the unexpected diagnosis, all of those things on the surface are bad, hard, unfortunate, and some incredibly sad situations to face. But as I mentioned in my Jesus First John Maynard's Legacy of Faith podcast last month, the bad, the good, all can be used for his glory to help form the story. I think back on all the things in my life that are so good, strong, stable now, but in those same areas, I face many trials and hardships to get to the place that I'm currently in now. God is a refining God, a refiner of us, and he disciplines us because he loves us. It is in the hard times when we are reminded of our reliance on him, our need for him, just like children need their parents. In my Uncle Billy's Four Thumbtacks podcast, he quoted former NBA basketball player and college basketball coach Tony Bennett by saying, "If you use it right, adversity can buy you a ticket to a place you couldn't have gone any other way." God told us that in this life we would have trials of many kinds, but any trial I've ever gone through has led to more growth than any other positive experience. Fruit doesn't grow in the mountaintops, it grows in the valley. Fruit grows when we abide in the Lord. And oftentimes, it's the trials and hardships that leave us no choice but to lean on God, trust God, because that is the one thing that gives us hope. And by humbling ourselves, we're able to sit and relax and know that God is working all things together for our good because he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only son to die for us. Talk about using the bad for good. I mean, the resurrection, come on now. God allowed his only son, perfect and blameless, to die the death of a sinner so that we could be free and live with him forever in heaven. He loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son so that we could have life and life to the full. Good Friday is called Good Friday because it was good because of the plot twist way God had planned for the story to end. If the worst thing to ever happen in human history was Jesus dying on the cross, and even that ended in the greatest thing to ever happen in human history, the resurrection, think about what he's going to do for us in our trials. Something I have to remind myself of often is, if God can sacrifice his son for me, why am I so slow to sacrifice my will and my long for control in my own life? If his way is better, which time and time again it's proven to be, why wouldn't I be glad to give him my first and best and come to him, palms raised, daily to receive what he knows is best. My friends Anna Seabury and Remy Beckham sent some texts in our group message a few weeks back on this topic of releasing control and waiting. Anna referenced Isaiah 5, which reads, "Woe to those who say, 'Let God hurry. Let him hasten his work so we may see it.'" Anna reflected by saying, "We don't and shouldn't need to see it to know that God is at work. That's not faith." Remy added by sharing something that she had recently journaled, which read, "The reason she longs so much for clarity is so she can make a decision without needing faith." She then elaborated on her thoughts to say, "When we become impatient, we need to see something happen. But when we trust God, we know in our hearts that he is at work, and so much peace comes from that." Snaps, right? So thankful to have such good and godly counsel in my circle. Whenever I think about this topic, I think about the teddy bear analogy. If you haven't seen this, look it up because it really is so, so good. I'll try and describe it for you. It shows a little girl holding a tiny teddy bear standing in front of Jesus. Jesus has kneeled and is gesturing for her to give him the teddy bear. The little girl says, "But I love it." Jesus says, "Just trust me." Behind his back is a huge teddy bear that before the little girl releases, she is unable to see. Once she releases it, she will be rewarded with the greater plan, far better than anything she could have ever imagined. By sacrificing her own want and need, she is blindly believing and having faith that the Lord will provide her with what is needed and best for her. I always ask my subjects during the parenting portion of the podcast, what's the most rewarding part about parenting? And for most of my interviews, the answer revolves around the joy that comes from watching their children grow up after years of discipline and obedience. Here's episode 8, Mary Armstrong.
What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Oh, wow. That would be watching these beautiful gifts from God just grow into these wonderful, beautiful women, mature women, just watching that happen. Mm-hmm. I think that, because I always think of them as such precious gifts from God.
And one more for good measure, Nancy Neiman. May she rest in peace.
What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Just how they turn out. You know, being so proud of everything that they do and the adults they become.
God wants what is best for us. He sees our potential more than even our parents because he made us and already knows the ending. How happy will he be when he sees us becoming more and more into the child he made us to be, living on purpose, in our purpose, which is loving him, trusting him, relying on him, blissfully in awe and hope-filled for the work he is doing even though we cannot see. It's like smelling your mom cooking in the kitchen before dinner is actually served. You know they're at work. And at the time of deliverance, it will all be worth the wait. Even if you didn't grow up with parents you could depend on, or maybe the love you received felt conditional or absent, the hope of the gospel is that God steps into that space as the perfect father. Psalm 68:5 says, "He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows." And in Isaiah 49:15-16, God makes a stunning promise. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." The truth is, no earthly parent can fully measure up. But God's love is constant, unconditional, and never failing. Romans 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we talk about childlike faith, it isn't about having the perfect childhood experience to draw from. It's about knowing you are perfectly loved by your Creator. No matter your story, you have a Heavenly Father who welcomes you, cares for you, and calls you his own. When I was at my friend Isaac and Lexi's house last week, I got to sit in on bedtime with their daughter Harper. Isaac read, "Oh, the Places You'll Go," and he may kill me for this, but I snuck a recording of it. I thought it was perfect for the episode. Here's Isaac reading.
Though the hacking cracks howl, onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with so many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains.
Shout out Dr. Seuss, pure genius. Okay.
Sorry, I'm really cringy. Not to hate on Dr. Seuss, but here's the greater truth. With God, success isn't 98 3/4% guaranteed. It's 100%. Not because we are strong enough to hike on and face every problem, but because he is faithful. And he walks with us every step of the way, even in our mistakes and downfalls. And remember earlier in the Dr. Seuss book, when he talks about the waiting place, how easy it is to get stuck waiting, waiting for something better, waiting for things to change, waiting for life to start? Childlike faith reminds us that with God, we're never stuck. He has a plan for us, even in the waiting. And he calls us to trust him with our next step. To close, I want to talk about the story of the prodigal son. You probably know it, but if you don't, the son wanders off, wastes everything, and finally decides to return home. And instead of anger or shame, what does the father do? He throws a feast. He celebrates because his child has come back. It's such a clear reminder that we are never too far gone for the father's love. He welcomes us back with open arms. That's the kind of love George Strait sang about. It's a love without end, amen. A love that comes running after us, a love that sets the table and calls us back home. That picture of a family dinner waiting to begin is actually what inspired the cover art for this podcast episode. I hired my cousin Max to draw it for me. Now, if you know Max, you know he doesn't like attention or compliments. He has autism, if you didn't know. So don't give him credit for it, but I had to give him credit because how amazing is it? But it's a table set, a family gathered, and a meal about to be shared. I love that image. Because it reminds me of both the anticipation and the joy that comes when the waiting is finally over. Think about it. When we sit down to pray before a meal, we're not just thanking God for food. We're acknowledging that He alone is the one who satisfies. The meal is good, but the real nourishment is Him. So whether you're in the waiting place, like Dr. Seuss described, or you feel far like the prodigal son, remember this. The Father is always ready to welcome you home. He sets the table, He prepares the feast, and He alone is what fills us. Childlike faith trusts that God is enough and that His arms, His presence, His table will always satisfy. Childlike faith is, yes, wonder and awe and innocent belief, but it's also reliance and obedience. It's trusting the Father enough to receive His discipline as love, knowing He delights to see us grow and mold more and more into His likeness. Just like earthly parents often say the most rewarding part of life is watching their children grow. And as Forrest Frank sings in Your Way is Better, we can rest in knowing that God is preparing the way to the better life. We need only be the children of God we already are, dependent, trusting, and ready to run into His arms. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Words of the Wise podcast. If you have a wise individual, think grandparent, mentor, friend, please feel free and be sure to email me at wordsofthewisep@gmail.com or follow us along on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. We're on all the platforms and trying to post a lot more. So please follow along there for more wise content and stay tuned for next week's episode featuring JT Curtis, a legend. He is actually the winningest American football coach amongst all levels in the entire country. He's also a pastor. He's the head of schools. His dad started the school that he is now the head of in New Orleans, Louisiana. So a lot of fun stuff coming up, as well as a mini series that I'm launching later this month. So be tuned for that. But thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I hope you have a blessed rest of your week. Soli Deo Gloria. Thank you, Jesus.